Hello and welcome to the Eating Disorder Therapist podcast. This is a podcast to help you find peace with food and overcome disordered eating. And I'm Harriet Frew, aka the Eating Disorder Therapist. And I'm so excited to share with you all kinds of stories, tips, information and guest interviews to help you on your journey in finding peace with food. So thank you so much for listening today. Now today I'm talking to Linda Ackerlund, all the way from Sweden. Linda is the mother of two girls who today are 18 and 21 years old. In January 2021, Linda's youngest daughter was diagnosed with anorexia nervosa. And her recovery journey then lasted for about 2.5 years, although she had been ill for about a year before her diagnosis from age 13. And I think this is not unusual that eating disorders can often be hidden, and it can take time for loved ones to become aware and even for the person struggling to be able to admit that they have issues going on. Linda's daughter's treatment model was family-based treatment, which thankfully proved to be an effective approach in the situation. But as a parent with no medical knowledge, understandably, Linda found this experience to be a significant struggle and very overwhelming. And she's going to talk about this today on the podcast. Now, today, Linda's daughter has made a full recovery, and her mission is to inspire others through this recovery journey and to particularly underline and talk about the importance of taking care of yourself as a parent when your child is very unwell. So I'm really looking forward to speaking with Linda today and to hear more about her experiences. Let's get to the conversation. Hi there, Linda. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Hi, thank you for letting me be here.
So Linda, can I firstly get you to introduce yourself to the listeners, please?
Yes, my name is Linda Åkerlund, actually, because I'm from Sweden. I have a daughter that suffered from anorexia for about 2.5-3 years. Well, I'm quite engaged in parenting during these horrible events that diseases is, pretty much. My daughter is well today, actually.
Yeah, I know, it's so good to hear, and really appreciate you coming on and just being willing to talk about your experience, because I think we don't hear enough about what it's like as a parent or carer. Linda, before we launch in, what's it like in Sweden today? How's the weather doing?
Oh, it's quite cold. It's 2 degrees Celsius and windy, a bit sunny, but cold.
Oh, wow. Okay, gosh.
So not nice.
Not
How is
nice.
It in England?
Yeah, no, actually, it's a bit cold here as well today, actually. It feels like warm compared to you. We're about 10 degrees, I think. We had a really kind of mild sort of more end of February, beginning of March. So this just feels a bit like, oh, back into winter again. But anyway.
Well, soon it's spring, I hope.
Definitely, definitely. Linda, if we could just like launch in and just sort of talk a little bit about your journey. You said your youngest daughter obviously had anorexia. You said perhaps initially, as I think is common in many families, perhaps you didn't realise that she was struggling, or you didn't realise perhaps initially that she was unwell and that she had anorexia. Is that right?
Yeah, it was about a year before we knew about it, because she told us afterwards. It's quite strange when you think about it that you don't notice. She was really, really thin when she actually told her sister about her eating problems and things. So, but it's quite hard. You see her every day. It was a shock, but in some way I knew that on some level.
Sure. Yeah, no, it makes sense, doesn't it? I think it's very understandable that often an eating disorder can be hidden, because I think, again, these days as well, young people get a lot of encouragement, don't they, in school and, of course, from social media to be healthy and think about what they're eating. And I think it can be very easy perhaps to miss it sometimes because of the person that's struggling themselves maybe doesn't even realize they have a problem, and maybe it doesn't even start off as a problem. I think you're not alone there.
It's kind of a good thing to be healthy. So today I think it's not a good thing in that way that many people talk about it, actually. It's a bit worrisome for our young kids.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, aren't you? Because I think as well for young people, they will often interpret things as well in quite black and white way, won't they? And I think it's very easy in our sort of very wellness dominated culture for people to take their eating to extremes and think that they may be just trying to be healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you sort of first recognize that your daughter had an issue? Like you said that she mentioned it to her sister. Is that sort of how you found out or what happened?
Yeah, it was actually Christmas Day. My oldest daughter called me quite late because I have my kids every second week. We are divorced, so we share caretaking or what you call it. She called me late on Christmas Day and said, I had this conversation and I'm really worried. And I immediately like, okay, we need to call someone when we are back to work and things. So I was pretty sure what this was about. Like directly, I started to Google, and in some way, I think she knew something was wrong because she reached out
it. And how did you sort of feel when you sort of first heard that news, when your other daughter spoke to you about this? You know, how are you feeling?
I was actually quite scared. I'm a person that easily get worried. I have never heard positive things about anorexia as I thought it was directly. You know, I expect the most horrific things at once. So I did not sleep much for quite many days. When you hear things, you don't hear very good things. And I was like, oh, can you even get well from this? I had no idea. I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, I think it's a very understandable reaction, isn't it? Because I think we don't often read positive things about eating disorders. I think it would make a lot of sense that you were really quite scared. And what was the sort of journey then in terms of like, was your younger daughter at that point, obviously she'd reached out to her sister and then that was communicated to you. Was she sort of motivated to engage in help?
No, she wasn't at all. She didn't want any help, but she was in such a bad state, so she couldn't really think clearly. We understood later on that this is normal when you not get enough food. So she was quite turned off in feelings and like, no, not in an aggressive way, but more crying sometimes and like, no, I don't want to do this. It was hard to talk to her because she wasn't functioning as she should in her mental state.
Yeah, sounds like she was very sort of physically compromised. I think someone's not eating, can't kind of concentrate, can you? Haven't got kind of good memory. You're not really present. You're preoccupied with food. You're pretty cold. Mm. You're tired. You're really quite unwell, aren't you, when you're in that place?
No, not at all. But she wanted to continue to be there. That's the problem.
So how did you get her to engage in treatment? Because I think, as you're saying as well, it's very common that someone with anorexia is very much in two minds about change. In the way I sort of think of the years I've worked with people in therapy, I would always be surprised actually if someone was motivated at that point. What happened? How did you get her to engage in treatment and what was that process like?
I think actually what saved us was she is kind of the girl that wants to do things right. She don't oppose so much. She's like just very passive, but followed us kind of. We could tell she didn't want it because she was very anxious and cried or didn't talk to us at all, but she came along. In other cases, that's not always a good thing, but it helped us in that moment to just say, now we're going there. She had never been fighting with us, not as a child either. So it's kind of hard to explain, but she did go, but she didn't talk and she didn't interact. She did what they told her to. When they said that she had to eat, she did actually, but not at home. And then she got very, very anxious for hours after when we got back home. So we were there about one day a week with them for a few hours to see how we should do it at home, just feeding her.
Sounds like you kind of got some sort of input, did you? Was it almost like kind of day patient center where you got input?
Yeah, once a week for maybe 2 months or something. This was during the pandemic, so it was quite, we could come with her. It was not possible anywhere else in healthcare system, but in this case, we could come, actually.
So you were sort of taught, I guess, kind of skills or kind of modeled how to support her with her eating, and then you would come home and try to replicate that with you in the home environment.
Yeah, well, they just brought out the food and told her to eat, and that did not really work at home in the same way, because she didn't want to put herself against them. But at home, it wasn't really that easy. She had to eat, I understand that, but it's quite hard when someone is just staring at a spoon of cream or something. I'm not the person that forces it into my child. I couldn't do that, even if I probably should have, but yes, quite hard.
Yeah, it sounds incredibly hard. And it sounds like your daughter, in a way, had a strong desire to please. So when she was in that sort of authority environment,
yes,
her desire to please, perhaps in that moment, overrode anorexia. But it sounds like when she was sort of back home, I guess, around the people that she loved and where she felt more safe, she wasn't going to be pleasing. I guess she was really pretty fighting against it. So how did you support her in being able to really engage with recovery? Because like you're saying, in a way, you can't force someone, can you, to want to eat? You can't force them to want to recover. So what sort of happened there?
Well, I actually, because she wasn't allowed to move around, she had to sit down all day and eat 6 times. And after a while, I spent almost every minute with her as a company, even if she didn't talk to me or didn't look at me, I was with her. And I also started to eat every single meal with her. I don't eat that many times normally, but I kind of brought it to the table and sat there with her, and it took 2 hours, it did. So I just continued doing that every day. She had to put something into her mouth. She almost did that every time after her worst. The anxiety was going down a bit. She did actually do that. But the thing I did was really being her company all the time, even if she was not talkable, or I can't say what it was that made her. But she knew that she had to sit there with me the whole day. I think because she also reached out in the beginning somewhere. She wanted something else. We talked a lot to her about her dreams, and she wanted to go to, my sister lives in London, so she loves to go there. And we talked very much about nice things and tried to, and on some level, she told us afterwards, of course, she heard us, but she didn't want to get well for about maybe 1.5, 2 years. It was quite a long process.
Yeah, I know, it sounds like it. And I think it's kind of very normal as well, isn't it? I think for anyone listening who might be in this situation, when someone develops anorexia nervosa, it's not usually a kind of quick fix to sort of come out the other side of, is it? It's definitely a journey. But it sounds like perhaps what was very helpful in that situation and how you were supporting your daughter is that you were just very consistent and provided that kind of safety, and you were sort of showing up, and you're kind of in the trenches with her, I guess, a bit, weren't you? You were sort of like, you were sort of sitting with her in the dark place, really, very consistently. And I think that in itself is incredibly powerful, even if at the time she probably didn't always recognize the benefit. And also the talking about the future and the dreams and kind of gets your head above water a bit, I think, doesn't it? Because I think even when someone doesn't want to let go of the illness, actually when they start to think about the future and things that are important to them and their values and their dreams and adventures, that's not really compatible, is it, with being unwell? and motivation can begin to shift a little bit.
Yeah, and as soon as you started to eat a bit more, maybe a year later or something, she actually had more moments of her like she was before. There were almost none when we started, but we could see an improvement that she was more herself for bits of the days. That was quite nice to see. And at these points, she could resonate about it a bit as well.
Time for a short advertisement break. Now, I know we talk a lot about food freedom on this podcast and how important it is to take care of yourself mentally and physically as you learn to navigate a culture inundated with toxic messaging. One of the best ways to take care of yourself is through exercise, but I know it can be really hard to find an exercise program that isn't rooted in these toxic messages and doesn't feel triggering. Well, I recently met Katie, the owner of an amazing new exercise company called WeShape. WeShape doesn't focus on calorie counting, tracking how much you work out, or making you feel bad about your body to get you motivated. Instead, they create a customized exercise routine for you that helps you connect with and care for your body rather than feel the pressure to change it. They help you learn to set intentions that come from a place of self-care rather than self-judgment, and they support you every step of the way with an amazing community and live coaching so you can make exercise a self-care practice that helps you feel better in your body and about your body. Plus, they're giving listeners of the show the chance to try it out for 2 full weeks for free. Just head on over to weshape.com/freedom or check out the link in the show notes to get started today.
So actually sort of getting that nutrition in and actually beginning to sort of think a bit more clearly. And like you say, you're kind of getting bits of her back almost.
Mm.
Yeah. And did she have any psychological therapy or anything alongside the sort of refeeding treatment?
She didn't want that. That she didn't really. She refused that. But they medicated her for the anxiety. I'm not sure if it helped, actually, but she was very tired from it. But that was almost it, because she didn't want to talk to someone because she said, it won't help me. What should it do to me? She tried once, but she didn't want it.
I think it's really helpful in recovery, actually, to... It sounds like you with your daughter, you know, she made quite an empowered decision from her own self about not wanting the therapy. Maybe that in itself is quite a helpful thing, because I guess she can always have some in the future.
Yeah.
If she wants to.
Yeah, actually, yes.
And obviously, Linda, without opening things up too much for the confidentiality of your daughter, but what sense do you make of the fact that your daughter developed an eating disorder? I know it's just so complex, and certain people with certain genetic traits seem to be more prone, but what sense do you make of it, I guess?
She's quite perfectionist, like always had an eye for how things should look or what clothes she should wear, and she have really is like, it should look like this, else I can't wear it, or really a sense, a visual sense of things. And she's really want to do everything right. All these things, I had read a bit about that actually afterwards. And she always was quite a tall girl as a child. And she told me afterward, I always was the biggest kid, like tallest. And she did not like that. And also, she's been quite picky with what she wanted to eat as a child. She could eat lots of chocolate or something, but it was quite a few things she liked.
Oh, so yeah, no, interesting, isn't it? I think, like you're saying about the perfectionist sort of traits, I think that definitely is quite common with anorexia. And also, I think as well, being taller or any difference, particularly around puberty, people don't want to stand out, do they? You really want to fit in so much at that age.
Yeah.
So what was the real switch for your daughter? Because I'm guessing in a way it was quite a slow process, week by week, day by day, really.
Yeah.
But was there a sort of turning point for her where she really decided that she did want to get better?
She actually changed school. When they have been in the first 9 years, they changed school in Sweden. She made new friends. Her old friends disappeared when she was ill and staying home. They didn't even call her or anything. But she got new friends and new school. It just happened over a month, maybe.
Okay.
It's really like, okay. But she had been in recovery for maybe half a year or something, fallbacks. But this was the turning point.
Oh. So do you think just being in that new environment, having new friends, new connections, feeling part of a group, do you think that all really helped in that process?
I think it might have, because she said she didn't need her friends earlier, but I'm quite sure she was sad about them not staying in touch. I think it gave her some hope and like, oh, wow, it can be like this.
Mm. And I think relationships can be so important, can't they?
Mm, yeah.
They really, really can. What about your own experience, Linda? Like, how did you cope with that? So very difficult 2.5 years or whatever when you were supporting your daughter with this sort of refeeding, and sometimes I guess she wasn't very interactive with you, and I'm sure some days were really, really hard. How did you manage through all of that?
Well, the thing is, for me, I realized something, because having only every second week with my kids, because she was at her dad's place 1 week and at mine the next week. In the beginning of this, I felt so much relief when she left. But this also made me feel very, very bad. Like, this is not okay. But after a while, I realized I needed this time off. Like, for me, not with anyone having anything to do with this. And what I realized was that parents that live with this, if they have a child with some eating disorder or anorexia, I think it's really important to split up and have this time for yourself to do other things and get some air. Like, I'm not sure how I should have handled it if it had been every week, every day, 24/7. Not at all, actually. So for me, it was what I think saved me. But I also realized that it might really be important for other parents to try to get that space as well, even if they live together.
Sure. Yeah, because I guess it's so intense, isn't it? It's so understandable that I think you would need some time away just to recharge your own emotional batteries. Because I think with the best will in the world, if you're caring that intensely in that quite high stress situation on an ongoing basis, I think any human could start to feel resentful or irritable or tired. And then that's going to leak out, isn't it? With the best will in the world. It's hard to contain that.
Yeah, it is. I guess this helped me to stay quite stable when she was here, keeping my emotions in some kind of... Of course, I showed my emotions from time to time, but I felt I needed to be of support. And it was so important to me to help her get better.
And was her dad sort of able to really get involved as well? Because I guess if she was sort of going to him every other weekend or whatever, was that, I'm guessing he was quite an integral part of the process.
Yeah, he was. Maybe not as engaged as I was, but he was doing quite the same things. We tried to cooperate a lot during this time. So we talked about how do you do this and how you do. So she didn't feel like she could get away at one place and not the other. And we was quite united.
Sure. Well, I mean, that sounds really helpful. And I could also imagine as well, sometimes that can be quite challenging, can't it? When there's emotions running high and you're worried about your daughter. But it sounds like it was brilliant that you were able to do that and have that kind of joined up communication.
Yeah, it's not always like that with people that have divorced. I understand that. So I'm quite thankful for this, that we managed to do this.
Yeah. And how did your other daughter cope with all of this? Because I think it'd be incredibly challenging, can't it, for a sibling?
She was in mid-teenage years somewhere, 15, 16, 17. And she felt this was so hard, so she wasn't at home much. Actually, she was here quite a lot when her sister was at her dad's place. So we had some time together those weeks. But I think she felt a bit left out or didn't get as much attention as she might have needed during that period in her life. But she coped with going out with her friends. It's quite hard to handle both of them in the same time. Yeah. I'm glad that she was not a small kid.
Yeah, no, sure. Well, it sounds like she sort of coped in her own way, didn't she, with escaping a bit with her friends. But also, it sounds helpful that perhaps she was able to spend some time with you in those in-between weeks. And it sounds really helpful, I think, Linda, that you're obviously acknowledging that she may be feeling a bit left out and recognizing that, which, you know, I think, again, is really helpful because it's really hard as a parent, isn't it, to try and meet everyone's needs sometimes when you're being pulled in different directions.
It is, actually, yes. And you can't leave a person that are really ill either. So it's quite hard to split yourself in that situation.
Linda, did you get much of ongoing support with your daughter after the sort of initial input when she was first unwell? Or were you sort of quite left to get on with it once you were sort of going?
There were some checks, or what you should call it, but not much support. It was like first once a month, we were there for checking weight and things. It was maybe every second month, so not much after that.
Sure. And was there any part of the journey where you were really worried that she was never going to get well? Or I'm guessing that maybe sometimes you may have felt just really overwhelmed and a bit helpless.
Well, the first 6 months, it was like that all the time. But then she did pretty good for a while, and she had just fell back a few times, especially during Christmas. We were also traveling to London. This was maybe 2 years after the journey began together. And after that, she started these throw-ups things because she ate a lot in London and she had some. So that was also like, okay, we are back and this is worse. Quite a few times. And in the beginning, I didn't think she was going to be well at all. But I'm a very worried person, so I'm kind of expect the worst.
Yeah, and I'm guessing you've got a daughter struggling with anorexia nervosa. It's probably one of the most fearful situations you could
be in. It's quite a serious situation, yes.
Linda, obviously you're sort of out the other side of it now, and I know you're sort of very passionate about trying to encourage other people going through the same thing just to really look after themselves, make sure they're being supported too. So do you have any sort of other messages that you'd particularly like to say to anyone who's listening, who's maybe got a son or a daughter going through this right now?
First of all, this might sound a bit silly. It actually helps. What you do helps. They hear what you say. Everything you do helps. Even if you don't know, maybe they don't tell you until 5 years later. But keep doing what you are doing because it helps. And also this, try to get time when you do things you like to do and love to do. And not only talk with parents in groups with children that have anorexia because you only talk about the children. It helps as well, but don't just hang around in these communities. Maybe that's it. I think it is amazing when it really turns. You can see that everything you actually did gave result together with your child, because they are fighting as well, even if you don't notice.
I think such valuable words to hear, actually. I'm sure there'll be people listening to this that are just thinking sometimes, oh, everything I'm doing, it's not having any benefit. Mm. They're not listening to me. But it's so worth remembering. I'm just sort of thinking about you sitting with your daughter through all those days and through all those meals and all the conversations you had. Counts for so much, doesn't it? I think you just sort of really being there along her by her side. And I think it's great advice, actually, to just really get support for yourself and outside the world of eating disorders, because I think it is valuable, isn't it, to talk to other parents. But sometimes I think your whole life, your life, your family's life, everything can become about the eating disorder and about food. And you kind of forget who you all were before the illness came along. And it's really important, isn't it, to fill your own cup up, to look after yourself, to kind of build up your own emotional resilience so that you can have some resources to support your loved one.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I must say, we have a very close relationship today. Really amazing. I'm happy for that.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful to hear. Really wonderful. And I wish you and both your daughters, really, many good wishes.
Thank you.
Okay, Linda, well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your story. Incredibly helpful. And I know that so many listeners will benefit from this and will feel encouraged and inspired, even if they're in a very dark place right now.
Yeah, I hope so. I think it's good to talk about this in other perspectives.
Yeah, no, absolutely agree. So I hope you enjoyed this conversation just as much as I did. And if you'd like to get in touch with Linda, do go to the details in the show notes. If you're not following me already on Instagram, do seek me out, @TheEatingDisorderTherapist_. And for further support with your relationship with food, do go to TheEatingDisorderTherapist.co.uk. I have a new 12-module overcoming bulimia program that you may be interested to do if you're struggling with bulimia and you would like to work online at your own pace. The link is in the show notes for this, and it currently has 20% off with the code FREEDOM. Thank you so much for listening today. And if you enjoy this podcast, I'd be so grateful if you'd follow, rate and review, as it helps it reach so many more listeners. I look forward to sharing another podcast episode with you very soon.